The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Professor Ivan Perry, a very good morning to you.
Hi.
Very
good
nice
morning.
Nice to talk to you this morning. You got in touch with us because of that remarkable woman we had on the show yesterday called Sandra, who talked about her stammer, but did it in a way that was pretty impressive, I would have thought. What struck you about her, if I may ask?
Yeah, sure. No, I think I was very moved by her interview. She was very clear, and she gave a very good account of her life and her experience as someone who stammers. And I was kind of saddened to hear that that she'd experienced rudeness mocking from time to time. And I suppose her interview highlighted, I suppose, some of the sort of intolerance and stigma that still surrounds stammering.
Mm. You know, you're a professor of public health at UCC. You're obviously a very busy man because everyone wants to talk to you. By the sounds of your phones this morning, they're hopping around you, Ivan. But what I was struck by, whatever about the individual conversation with Sandra, and I thoroughly enjoyed her company, I must say, in that chat, but was the relentless amount of messaging that came in after that conversation from people to say, I was mocked, I am slagged, I am taken, I am, to use the more modern use of the word, I am othered. By people, it seems like it's almost as if it's the kind of thing that people feel it's acceptable to be cruel about.
Yes, I mean that seems to be the case. I mean, I suppose I have to say that I haven't personally experienced that. You know, growing up as somebody who stammered, my own experience at home and in school is that, you know, people were pretty relaxed about it, but it is certainly the case, and I know many people who stammer who have experienced a significant amount of mockery and hardship, which is clearly unacceptable.
What's it like for you in terms of doing lecturing, giving interviews, and, you know, for, I don't know what age group you are, but yeah, was it harder before now, or has it got better with age, maybe?
Oh, it's got much better with age. I'm in my sort of early 60s now, and, it can still be challenging from time to time, mm-hmm, lecturing or indeed doing interviews, or if I'm giving a talk at a major conference, I have to put in a lot more work in terms of preparation than if I didn't stammer. But overall, it has become much easier as I've got older.
Do you believe that there's a sense of stigma, taboo, or do you think with conversations like this and the conversation yesterday that it's becoming less a problem in that regard?
I would hope it's becoming less a problem. I think part of the issue when people who stammer often have a huge sense of embarrassment and shame about their stammer, which in my view is unnecessary, but I suppose speech is very intimate. It's very personal. In speaking, we are trying to project a sense of our inner selves, and if you have a stammer, that can be very challenging from time to time.
What do you say, Ivan, to families listening in this morning with younger people among them who could be listening, couldn't be any age group, frankly, but who are reluctant to kind of go out into public, to stand up in the classroom, to order around,
Yeah.
To stop at the drive-by in the fast food place because it's just not worth the grief. What do you say? Is it about persistence or what?
I think it's very, very important if you have a stammer or any disfluency to continuously expand your speaking comfort zone, and because if you don't, it can become restricted quite rapidly. So it is important, you know, to go to the shop and, you know, be prepared to stammer in public and quietly and with dignity insist that people wait and give you a moment to finish saying what you are saying. I suppose the other thing I'd say to families that particularly where there are signs of disfluency in early childhood is that with appropriate referral and treatment, disfluency in early childhood can now be very well managed and managed in a way that prevents a lifelong stammer.
Do you find, Ivan, and it might be a personal question, do you find that your stammer disappears when you're relaxed, if you're, you know, around the dinner table with people you love or in good company? Does it go up and down like that? Is like a spectrum almost in your own?
Yes, of course, because you see, speech is a fine motor action, and I use the analogy of getting in a good first serve in tennis.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, there are some days playing tennis, you'll be relaxed. You'll be in the zone. Your game will go well. Other days, you'll be a little bit tired or a little bit anxious, and your game or your speech will go less well.
I hear you. Can I ask you off the beaten track, if you don't mind, Ivan, as you are, as I say, a professor of public health at UCC, and you survey the papers or the internet, whatever you're looking at this morning, having watched yesterday and events unfold, where do you think we are at the moment in terms of compliance and confusion or lack of?
Well, I suppose, you know, as you were saying at the outset of the programme, it's clear that Dublin is probably going to have to move into level 3 of the restrictions, given the numbers. And I suppose if you look back to the start of the pandemic, we have got many things right. We did flatten the curve. I think we have to be conscious always of the difficulties in making the decisions in the face of uncertainty, and while, you know, clearly some mistakes have been made and possibly are still being made, I'm a little bit concerned about maybe opening the wet pubs at a time that the third level students are coming back to university. But, you know, no one has all the answers here, and anyone who is dogmatically certain about what should be done next is probably not close to the fine-grained detail.
Yeah, what a excellently put, I have to say. Lovely clarity in that sentiment. Just a couple of messages briefly. Geraldine did the course with you. Remember, Ivan Perry is a very good lecturer on a very new course at UCC. And another says that Ivan Perry from Dr. Sarah Burke says, taught me public health and epidemiology. He was an inspirational teacher and is a gem of a person and is always worth hearing. So that's a good enough endorsement for us, Ivan. Thank you for your time this morning. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for that.
Pleasure. Professor Ivan Perry there, Professor of Public Health at UCC, who got in touch with us yesterday apropos of the interview with Sandra, as did Mary Nicholson, who emailed to say, listening to your guest stirred a lot of memories for me. I had similar experiences as a child, stuttering my way through primary and halfway through secondary school. It all began when I was about 6 or 7. My father accidentally drove over my baby sister, who was crawling around under his car before he went to work one morning. Luckily, she survived. She just had two broken arms, two broken legs, and all of her ribs, and spent 6 long months in hospital where we couldn't go and visit because of restrictions back in the day. It was over 40 years ago. My eldest sister was about 8 at the time and witnessed the accident. With the horror of what she saw, she developed a major stutter, which lasted for years. I then developed a stutter, probably from listening to my sister and trying to help her finish her words. It just became my normal. In primary school, the teacher would produce the Irish projector board and call me up first every morning to stutter through the Irish class. I spent about half an hour on the toilet before every Irish class. It was horrendous. I felt this teacher was getting some pleasure watching me, red-faced and sweating, mumbling and stammering for at least 15 minutes. Some of the kids sniggered and those who were facing me tried to help me along, even though I knew the words. Following on from that, I moved to secondary school, thankfully. I faced so many teachers every 40 minutes, I couldn't say my name. I had serious issues with M words. I also couldn't pronounce L, S, B and D words. I began counselling myself to stay calm and take deep breaths and not to overthink or review words before I was asked to read out loud in class. Eventually, after receiving a lot of kindness and patience from a few teachers who knew I had great ability and nurtured me and encouraged me, eventually, I grew in confidence and my horrible stammer almost disappeared. I'm so grateful to those lovely, kind women who saved my life. My kids now have a giggle when I order a Chinese takeaway. And unbeknownst to myself, I gag when they ask me my name. But I have a giggle too, so it's not so bad. So thank you for highlighting this disability. It has affected so many people. And kindness is what helped me overcome mine. There it is again. There's that word.